The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by some special friends of this ministry. Pastor Greg?
I wanted to say a special word of thanks to the Harvest Partners who make this ministry possible.
Next time you're online, check out Pastor Greg's personal blog at blog.greglaurie.com.
Sometimes people think, oh, if I do what the Bible says, I'm going to be so miserable because the sinners have all the fun.
You know, that's a gigantic lie the devil has sold to so many people. Pastor Greg Laurie says sin has a high price tag.
There is fun in sin momentarily, but oh man, the penalties are brutal. You can have a happy life without sin. God is not out to ruin your life. He's out to bless your life and to fulfill you, but you need to do it His way.
This is the day when the lost are found.
None of us is unaware of sin's attraction, and each of us has fallen victim to its lure. And so many have experienced the disaster that often follows. Sin looks good through the windshield, but it's a bad memory in the rearview mirror. Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie brings us a cold, hard look at sin and how to resist its foothold in our lives. We're in the book of Nehemiah today, discovering how we can each experience a personal, spiritual revival.
Let me make a distinction between two words that are often used interchangeably. Revival and awakening. Here's what it comes down to. America needs a spiritual awakening. The church needs a revival. An awakening is when God sovereignly pours out His Spirit and it impacts a culture. That's what happened in the Jesus Revolution. That's what happened in multiple spiritual awakenings in the history of America, predating us being established as a country. But a revival, that is what the church must experience. It's when the church comes back to life, when the church becomes what it was always meant to be. It's a returning to passion. Well, before us here in Nehemiah 8 is a national revival. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1. When the people assembled with unified purpose at the square just inside the water gate, they asked Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given for Israel to obey. And on October 8th, Ezra the priest brought the book of the law before the assembly, which included the men and the women and the children old enough to understand. He faced the square just inside the water gate. From early morning to noon, he read aloud to everyone who could understand. And the people listened closely to the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood on a high wooden platform that had been made for the occasion. And to his right stood, and there's a bunch of people that stood to his right and left, and I'll let you review those names later because I can't pronounce all of those names. And Ezra stood on the platform in full view of the people. And when they saw them open the book, they all rose to their feet. We'll stop there. So this was a full-blown revival. Here are the people. And they're standing there. And Ezra has God's word for them. He shares God's word. Look at verse 3. All the people listened closely to the book of the law. I can't tell you how much of a difference it makes between a group of people that want to hear God's word and a group of people that don't. And I've had a lot of my friends who've come here and spoken who are pastors tell me how much they love to preach at Harvest. I say, tell me why. They say, because they love God's word. That's a good trait. And you know, preacher can tell. We know when you don't really want to hear us. And people are not exactly subtle, by the way. I don't know if you're aware of this, but actually, I can see you right now. I don't know if people know that. So, sir, you've been picking your nose for a minute. Stop. Just stop. No, I'm not kidding. But I see everything you do. And as I speak, I'm sort of scanning the room. I look at people periodically. Sometimes people will say, you were staring at me the whole message. You were preaching to me. By the way, who told you that personal information about my life? Nobody gave me any information about you, and I never stare at anyone intentionally except you. And I'm going to stare at you the whole time. You okay with that? You seem good with that. All right, so. How about the yawning out loud move? I love this one. I'll say, all right, well, let's turn in our Bibles too, and I'll look up and someone does this. Really? Could you not even kind of suppress the yawn? And then when you close your eyes and fold your hands, I know you're not praying. Okay, forget it. I'm not buying the prayer deal. You're taking a nap. I understand that. How about the people that just get up and leave? Let's get up and leave, take our sweet time and walk out the back door. So, you know that. You see that from up here. Oh, but when people are hungry for God's word, when you say, turn in your Bibles to, I love it when people lunge. Let's get the Bible up. And they're flipping through it. That sound of the rustling of Bible pages, the sweetest sound I know. And so these people wanted to hear Ezra. Now, I know preachers can be boring. I don't get it. I don't know how you can take the action-packed, living, breathing Word of God and make it dull. But absolutely, some preachers do it. And I know sometimes preachers go long. But know this, Ezra went for hours, and the people stood the whole time. So don't complain about my long sermons again. And they listened. They listened closely, is what we read. They listened closely. A story is told of President Calvin Coolidge, who attended church one Sunday. So he came home after, and his wife said, so, Cal, what did the preacher talk about today? President Coolidge said, he talked about sin. I think. She said, well, what did he say? President Coolidge said, I think he's against it. Yeah, that's a guy who was not listening, okay? You know, sometimes after church, I'll talk to people and they'll say, good sermon today, Pastor. I'll say, well, thank you. What did you like in particular about it? Then they look at you, deer in the headlamps, right? Your story about the dog, you know, whatever. Sometimes I'll see they have notes. I say, excuse me, can I look at your notes? Go ahead. And then I read with, I love that because then I see what people are picking up on. Did they get the point I was actually making? And why are you writing? I dislike this preacher. Make him stop, God. Make him stop now. Yeah. So, you know, it's really coming down to how we listen. We put a lot of pressure on preachers delivering the goods. We expect them to do it. And I think they should work at their craft and their gifting and the delivery of a message. But there's also a place for prepared listeners. There's a right and there's a wrong way to listen. The way you engage, taking notes is a good way to retain information. Point number two, you're having revival when people spontaneously and passionately worship God. You're having revival when people passionately and spontaneously worship God. Look at verse 6. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people said, amen, amen. And they lifted their hands and they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. You know, a hearty amen goes a long way when someone's speaking. Amen? Amen. Now, why do we even say that? Amen means so be it. I agree. Right on. I'm down with that. True dat, however you want to frame it. It's right. Yes, yes. Now, you don't have to scream it. You know, some people, amen, and it freaks the preacher out, you know. But just like, amen, amen. Yeah, that resonated with me. Amen. That's what the people are doing. Amen, amen. And he opens the word of God to them. I want to point out three things that are very important that we'll explore for a few moments, and then we'll end the message. But there are three things that happen here as the people react to God's word. Number one, they understood the word of God, verses 1-8. They understood the word of God. Number two, they rejoiced in the word of God, verses 9-12. And number three, they obeyed the word of God, verses 13-18. So they heard it, they understood it, they rejoiced in it, and they also obeyed it. And so this is something that's very important as we hear God's word. Because listen, God is going to come to us through scripture. Sometimes people say, I never know the will of God. Read the Bible and you will. Read the Bible and you will. I don't mean that a verse is going to jump out and tell you if you should buy the red or the green dress after church. The Bible doesn't deal with things like that. It gives us principles. It gives us principles we govern our life by, and the Holy Spirit helps us to know how to apply those principles in day-to-day situations, and it'll give you the wisdom you need when you need it. But as you immerse yourself in God's Word, you'll learn to start thinking biblically and understand what it says. And Jesus says, "Behold, in the volume of the book I've come." We don't worship the Bible. We worship the author of the Bible. The Bible is the autobiography of God. So as I read Scripture, I discover Him.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of his message in just a moment.
Hey everybody, Greg Laurie here. I want to tell you about a great way to hear God's word and worship with fellow believers, not only around the nation, but around the world. It's called Harvest at Home.
Millions are tuning in from all over the planet, and tens of thousands have made decisions for Jesus Christ. Why not join us?
You just go to our website, harvest.org. We have our weekend services there, of course, but we also have great ministry there every single day. Sometimes it's visiting a message from a Harvest Crusade. Another time it's a Q&A session we're doing. Maybe it's something my wife is doing for the ladies, and we even feature Christian films.
Movies such as Lost Boy, Pastor Greg's life story, Steve McQueen, American Icon, and Hope for Hurting Hearts with Jeremy Camp and Nick Vujicic.
All that and a lot more at harvest.org.
It's your resource for family enrichment and spiritual growth.
So join us for Harvest at Home each week at harvest.org.
Well, we're in the book of Nehemiah today for Pastor Greg's message, How to Have a Personal Spiritual Revival. Let's continue.
Number two, we must be convicted by the Word of God. So first we understand the Word of God, but we must be convicted by it. Look at Nehemiah 8:8. They read from the book of the law of God and clearly explained the meaning of what was being read, helping the people understand each passage. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were interpreting for the people said to them, "Don't weep for such a time as this. Today is a sacred day before the Lord your God." And the people began weeping as they listened to the law of God. Listen, sometimes we have a false idea of how Scripture and even church should impact us. You know, we want to be blessed, never convicted. We want to be happy, never sad. We say, "Don't beat me down in church, lift me up. I want to be inspired. I want to be encouraged. I want to walk out of here happy." Well, hold on now, buckaroo. Let's determine your spiritual condition first. See, I don't want you to be happy if you're living in sin. So there may need to be that conviction of the Holy Spirit who will show you what your sin is so you can repent of it and then walk out truly happy. Because Jesus said, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." You know, the word blessed is interchangeable with the word happy. So you could translate it, "Happy are the sad, for they will be happy." What? Yeah. You're sad. "Oh, this isn't right before the Lord. I need to change this." And then you can find the true happiness that you really desire. So really what Ezra is saying, "Okay, guys, look, you've got this. You've repented of this sin. Now it's time to rejoice." You know, it'd be like going to a doctor and saying, "Hey, doc, you know, I've got some physical issues. Here's some symptoms. I want you to do a checkup, and then I want you to give me only good news. Don't give me anything negative, just good news." Well, doctor can't do that. He's taken a Hippocratic oath. And among other things, he is to do no harm. He has to tell you the truth for your own welfare. And the preacher has to do the same, and we need to do the same at the church. But here's what actually is being said to them by Ezra. He says, "Stop your mourning and instead rejoice." I love this statement from Warren Wiersbe. Quote, "It is as wrong to mourn when God has forgiven us as it is wrong to rejoice when sin has conquered us." It's wrong to rejoice when sin has conquered you. If you can listen to my message right now and you're living in sin and you feel good about it, that is a bad sign. If you're, you know, sleeping with your boyfriend, girlfriend, if you're doing drugs, if you're lying, stealing, looking at porn, whatever. And somehow in your mind, you've managed to rationalize this as being okay, and you've managed to even convince yourself God is fine with it. You're in a dangerous spiritual state because you're in danger of getting a hardened heart and a seared conscience. You don't want to feel good about yourself. You want to feel bad enough to repent. God does not convict us of our sin to drive us away in despair. God convicts us of our sin to send us into the open arms of Jesus, who died on the cross to pay for all of your sin. And then when you accept that forgiveness, you can find the happiness you want. Because the Bible says, blessed or happy is the man whose sin is forgiven. So Ezra is actually saying, come on, guys, it's time to rejoice. Be happy because the Lord has forgiven you. One final point. We must obey the word of God. They understood the word of God. They rejoiced in the word of God. And they obeyed the word of God. As the people heard God speak to them through Ezra, they realized they had missed something. Something the scripture had told them to do. And among these things was going outside, building structures out of branches and leaves, and having a time where they were living out in the open air in thankfulness to God for all that he had done for them. And the result of their obedience was great joy, verse 17. Here's my point. Sometimes people think, oh, if I do what the Bible says, I'm going to be so miserable. Because the sinners have all the fun. They get to do all the cool stuff, do whatever they want. Do the sinners really have more fun? Now, hold on. They have fun sometimes, don't they? Otherwise, we'd never sin, would we? There is fun in sin momentarily, but oh man, the penalties are brutal. And sometimes they're lethal as they close in on your life and you face the repercussions of that. And so this is something that we need to think about. But here's the deal. God in his word says, don't do this. Do this instead of that thing. And he says, if you do these things, you'll find happiness. Luke 11:28 says, happy are those that hear the word of God and keep it. You can have a happy life without sin. You can have a happy life without sex outside of marriage, without drugs or alcohol, without selfishness. God is not out to ruin your life. He's out to bless your life and to fulfill you, but you need to do it his way. Say amen. Amen. So you got to do it. It comes down to you. Here's all these things God wants to do for you. But you need to come and understand God's word. You need to come and rejoice in God's word. And then you need to come and obey God's word. And if you don't do that, well, the Lord's not going to force feed you. It's in front of you. It's yours to enjoy. It's yours to reject. Yeah, they had a great revival. Did it last? Well, for a time. Revivals don't last forever. They have a beginning, middle, and end. A revival's a little bit like an explosion. Boom. Kind of like when you start your car, effectively, it's an explosion. And then the car starts. And so revival's like an explosion. But then, you know, sometimes we lose sight of it. We need another revival. Then we need another one. Someone once asked Billy Sunday, the evangelist, if his revivals lasted. He said, no, neither does a bath, but it's good to have one occasionally, right? So it's good to go back and say, Lord, revive me again and again and again. I think we had to close by asking him to revive us. I know that I need constant revival. You do too, by the way. We all do. Our church does. The church does. And America needs an awakening. Let it start with us. But let me close with this. Some of you that have joined us, some of you watching us right now, you may not have this relationship with God we've been talking about. You've been trying to find happiness without God. You've been trying to find happiness in a bottle. You've been trying to find happiness in a medication of some kind, legal or illegal. You've been trying to find happiness in illicit experiences. You've been trying to find happiness through material things. Or you've been trying to find it through accomplishments or whatever it is, and you haven't found it. And here's a newsflash, you never will. God pre-wired you to know him, and everything you're looking for is right in front of you in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ was born in that manger of Bethlehem. He walked the streets of Jerusalem And then he died on a cross outside of the walls of Jerusalem for the sin of the world, for your sin and for mine. And if I'll turn from my sin, he will come and live inside of me. And listen to this, your name will be written in the book of life. And if your name is written in the book of life, when you die, God will say, enter in to the joy of the Lord. And if your name is not written in the book of life, he will say, depart from me. I never knew you. It's your choice. You want your name in the book? You want your sin forgiven? You want this happiness you've been seeking? It's right here. Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and rose again from the dead, is here with us right here, right now, ready to come into your life and forgive you of all of your sins. And you need to ask him in. So we're going to close in prayer, and I'm going to extend an invitation for you to ask Jesus Christ to come into your life. So let's all bow our heads. So Father, I pray for everyone here, everyone watching, wherever they are. If they don't have this relationship with you, I pray that your Holy Spirit will convict them and convince them of their need for you and help them to come to you and believe so their name can be written in your book. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Pastor Greg Laurie with an important prayer to close today's study time here on A New Beginning. And if you'd like to make a change in your relationship with the Lord today, Pastor Greg will help you with that in just a moment. And at the very end of today's program, Pastor Greg will lead us all in asking the Lord to revive us. Now, if you missed any portion of today's study, a message called How to Have a Personal Spiritual Revival, you can hear the whole message again online at harvest.org. Or download an MP3, or even order a CD. Again, go to harvest.org or call us at 1-800-821-3300. 1-800-821-3300. You know, Pastor Greg, a counselor told me that many people are stressed and some don't even know it. And I said, well, how can someone tell if they're under stress? And she said, if you find your first response to an offense is on a larger scale than the offense itself, then that's probably stress. So if it's, let's say, a 5-pound offense, but you react with 25 pounds of anger and frustration, you're probably under stress.
Yeah.
And as I say that, I'll bet somebody listening just said, I think I just did that.
Yeah.
So help us find out how we can de-stress our stressed out lives.
Well, I think when you're under stress, it's kind of like the expression, you know, the straw that breaks a camel's back. A little thing can just blow everything up. Yeah. And because you're already under this intense pressure. And this is why we need to continue to give our problems over to the Lord. You know, the Bible says, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And that's why I always encourage believers, when they're tempted to worry, turn their worry into a prayer. So let's just say you're just driving along, or you're sitting at home sheltering in place, and all of a sudden you're just flooded with a bunch of anxiety and worry. Well, turn those things into petitions. Turn your problems into petitions. Turn your worries into worship. Turn your fear into faith. Turn your hopelessness into hope by reminding yourself of what the Bible says. You know, sometimes I just quote the Bible to myself because I forget the promises of God. We all do. This is why Peter wrote in his epistle, I want to stir up your memory about these things. We as Christians need to constantly be reminded of the truths of the Word of God. And I've written a little book that is just out right now, and I want to send to all of our listeners to help them get a biblical perspective, and instead of turning a molehill into a mountain, they can turn their mountain into a molehill, or just get a better view of the power of God in their life and his ability to help them through their difficulties. And this book is simply called Bringing Christ into Your Crisis. You know, you have a crisis, you can face it alone, or you can invite Christ into it. Illustration, the disciples were out there in the Sea of Galilee and a great storm came and they began to despair for their lives. And who shows up but Jesus walking on the water? And the Bible says he acted as though he would keep walking. Interesting statement. So it's almost as though he was passing by. And they say, Lord, come, come to us, come. And he came on board their boat and everything changed. You see, they effectively brought Christ into their crisis. And that's what I'm encouraging people to do, is invite Jesus into your situation. Invite Christ into whatever it is you're facing and ask for his help. So this book, Bringing Christ into Your Crisis, is chock full of verses and biblical truth that I think will help you get a divine perspective on what we're all facing together. And I want to send it to you for free. I just want you to have it. And really, I want you to read it. But if you can support us financially at this critical moment, we'd really appreciate it, because I'll tell you what, we have incredible opportunities before us. And I think we can reach more people in this moment in time than maybe any other time I can remember in my life. So I would really appreciate it if you would not only support us financially, but if you would even become what we call a harvest partner. And that's somebody who supports us every month with a regular gift. Whatever you can do, ask the Lord to give you direction as to what you would want to invest. But if you believe people need to hear the gospel, if you want to see people come to Jesus, well, that's what we're all about here at Harvest Ministries and on this radio broadcast, A New Beginning. So do what you can to support us, and we'll get you your copy of Bringing Christ into Your Crisis quickly.
All right, and let me pass along our contact information. And thanks so much for your support. It can impact so many lives here at this critical time. So write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call us at 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or just go online to harvest.org. Well, Pastor Greg, you spoke today about having a relationship with the Lord.
Yes.
Someone can enter into that kind of relationship with God right now, can't they?
Yeah, they really can. That's the amazing thing. I think people are surprised that it doesn't take years to become a Christian. It doesn't take months. It doesn't take weeks. It doesn't take days. It doesn't even take hours. You can believe on the spot. And I would like to lead you in a prayer where you can ask for his forgiveness, a prayer where you can receive Jesus Christ into your life as your Savior and Lord. So if you want Christ to come into your life, if you want him to forgive you of your sin, if you want a second chance in life, if you want to go to heaven when you die, stop what you're doing and pray after me. These words, Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner and I'm sorry for my sin, and I turn from it now, and I choose to follow you from this moment forward as Savior and Lord, as God and friend. Thank you for loving me and calling me and forgiving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. And listen, if you have just prayed those words with Pastor Greg, the Lord has heard you and forgiven you of your sin. The Bible says Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we want to send some materials your way to help you begin to live this new life. We call it our New Believers Growth Packet. Just ask for it, and we'll send it free of charge if you prayed for the first time today with Pastor Greg. So write us again at A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Our phone number, 1-800-821-3300, 1-800-821-3300. Or go online to harvest.org and click Know God. Next time, we'll see the story of Nehemiah included a massive call to prayer and yielded dramatic results. We'll see what we can learn from that next time. But before we go, Pastor Greg closes in a word of prayer.
We talked about revival, and I think we should pray that God will revive us now, because we need it, and we need it each and every day. You know what? I don't know. Maybe it's the evangelist in me. I love to lead people in prayers because it marks things in time. So I'll lead you guys in a prayer if you would like to do that. And you could pray it out loud after me, and it's a prayer for revival. Don't pray it if you don't mean it. By all means, don't. But if you do mean it and you want this revival in your life, you want to be rekindled, you want to be restored, then pray this prayer out loud after me. Let's all pray. Pray this now. Lord Jesus, I need personal revival. And I need it now. So fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me a passion for your word. Give me a passion for prayer. Give me a passion to share my faith. Restore me. Revive me. Empower me. I commit myself to you now. And I receive it from you. In Jesus' name I pray. Oh, Father, we've prayed this prayer just like the folks did back in the book of Nehemiah. And you filled them and you blessed them. So fill us and bless us now as we worship you. For we ask it in your name.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.